Pray we would fear you more than anyone, we would love you more than anyone, and have a desire to serve you more than anyone or anything. And God, please meet with us tonight in a special way. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's not a secret that we're supposed to watch him and learn from him. And one of the greatest things that you can do as a Christian is sit down in the morning and open your Bible with a cup of coffee and just watch Jesus, right? Read the Gospels and watch him and how he would do things and what he did in different situations. John said this, and he was the apostle or the disciple whom Jesus loved, an apostle. He said, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And Paul said this, that if you're thinking about quitting, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, right? And he said, if you do that, if you don't do that, you'll be wearied and faint in your minds. So if you're about to quit and you look to Jesus Christ, it will give you strength for the journey to go on. The Lord himself, he said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." Pilate said, "Behold your king." In Acts chapter 1, when the Lord was leaving, it said all those 120 people stand and they beheld him as he passed up into them in the clouds. Right? Jesus even said this. He said that everybody came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and he said, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here." He said, people repented at the preaching of Jonas, and he said, "Behold, a greater than Jonas is here." And so let's read Luke chapter 5 and verse 17 as we behold the Lamb of God, and let's look at him. And let's look at this passage, and here's what I'm going to ask at this, as we go to this passage. I'm going to ask this question. What stands out to you in this story? Right? Now, there's no wrong answer. Okay? All I want to know is, let's say you were here, and you were sitting there, and you were watching this story unfold before you. And then somebody asked you about it and say, "Hey, remember when you were there? Tell me what happened." We're going to read this, and I want to ask you what stands out to you. And it came to pass in verse 17, Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. On a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea in Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said unto him, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." That's Luke. That's Matthew 9, 2. Mark chapter 2, let me read a couple verses. Just listen about the same story. Get a couple more details. "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins are forgiven thee." All right, now the question. We're watching Jesus, right? What stands out to you in this story? What would you tell right here? Right there and right here. We got two of them. All right, Brother Cormick, and you first.
Well, there's... First thing stands out to me is the fact that there was a multitude there, obviously, and he paid attention to the one person that had faith in him. to heal him.
That's good.
The big thing I saw was that you had some of the top dogs, so to speak, that were there from all over Judea and Galilee that came to listen to him. It says Pharisees, doctors of the law. So these guys were, I would assume, highly esteemed that they're coming to listen to Christ as he's teaching.
That's good. They all came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. A greater Solomon is here, and says a lot about him by who came to listen to him. Yes, sir.
I saw a man that forgave sins.
A man that forgave sins. That's a blessing. Who can forgive sins but God only? Yes.
I saw the devotion of his friends that helped him out, that didn't give up and said, you know, we're going to figure something out.
That's good. It's good to have good friends that'll help you out, right? Anyone else? Brother Phil.
The scripture says that the power of the Lord was there to heal.
The power of the Lord to heal. Yes. Any other details that stick out? Maybe, yes, Miss Audrey. Malachi. Malachi will probably have my same details.
Well, I just noticed that the crowd didn't let him through. Like, they actually had to go into the roof. It wasn't like, okay, here's this sick guy. Let's let him up front.
Yeah. That's good.
I like how it said, this came to pass. You know, a lot of the time we read the Bible and it's like, these are cool stories, you know, but like these actually happened. And I like how the Bible just says, this came to pass.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
It doesn't mention exactly what I'm going to say, but the hardened of these people that came from afar. Okay? Because they have, it says in verse 21, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? So it was the hardest of their heart.
Yep, that's good. All right, Michael, let's say you were building this house, okay? And you got done, and Jesus is there enjoying your new roof, right? And these guys come in and they tear it up, right? You know, everybody sees all these good things. I'm kind of negative. I said, man, this is rude. They are interrupting the preacher. I mean, imagine we're preaching here and somebody comes in and you're cutting the roof up? What is wrong with you? Come through the door. Move people out of the way. Don't mess the roof up. We just put that up there, okay? Right? But we see, like when we look at this passage, we see all kinds of different things. We saw effort. We saw determination. We saw friendship. We saw desperation. We saw a roof being torn up. We saw rudeness. But here's what I want you to see. Look at 5 and verse 20. What did he see? What did God see? He saw their faith. Is faith tangible? It's not like this. He saw their faith. Right? Think about this. If Jesus Christ walked in here tonight, what would he notice? What would he be looking for? Okay? It's good to watch Jesus, but you know what? It's also good to know what he's watching. Right? And we saw all these details, but God saw something different. Okay? Look at this verse here. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. If God... Here's the thing. He's watching me, and he's watching you. And he's looking for something in your life. 1 Samuel chapter 16 in verse 7. The Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Now, two things about that. It doesn't say it's wrong to look on the outward appearance. Is that true? I mean, that's all we can look on is the outward appearance. And you should understand that man looks on the outward appearance, so make sure the outward appearance is presentable. There's nothing wrong with that. It does not say that's wrong. It's a fact. God told you that's how man looks, so pay attention to that. But God sees deeper than we see. He sees the heart, right? And when all that stuff was happening, God saw the heart, and he saw something that impressed him, and he saw faith. And if you read about Jesus Christ, you know one thing he always pointed out wherever he went? Faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at a couple verses there, and then we'll proceed. Hebrews chapter 11. So the message is, what does God notice? And we'll do this for a few weeks, but the thing we're going to see tonight that God notices and he's looking for is faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Here's the way I've heard this explained. If you've ever been walking down a road and you smell honeysuckle, okay? How many of you know what the sweet smell of honeysuckle is? All right? It's one of the best smells on God's green earth. And you're like, there's honeysuckle around here. But you can't see it, right? Listen, we believe that there's heaven. We believe in God. We believe in Jesus Christ. But we've never seen him. And we have evidence, and that evidence is faith. It's our substance. It's what we hold on to. By it, verse 2, the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. If you don't have any faith, you don't understand how the Lord created the earth. You don't understand where it came from. You think it was an accident. So that the things which are seen were made of things which do not appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated. Now look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay? So, you cannot please God without faith. All the great men of the Bible had it, and it does not take much to please him. The grain of a mustard seed, the tiniest amount. And so what we're looking for, we're looking for practical ways to show God faith in our life, because that's what he's looking for. Right? Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. He saw their faith. What does God notice when he looks at me? What does he notice when he looks at you? He notices your faith or your lack thereof. Out of all those things that impressed him, the fact that these men believed that Jesus Christ could help their friend, and they did not let anything deter them from getting their friend to the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't spare any expense and they didn't spare any effort. And every bit of their hope was tied up in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had no other plan. It was Jesus Christ. Right? And when God looks at you tonight, what he sees is the amount of faith that you have in him for your problem. How much do you believe him for the things that you need and want to see accomplished? That's what God notices. Now, he talked about faith everywhere he went. And he pointed out lack of faith, and he pointed out also when people had great faith. So look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. He says this, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." That doesn't mean, that means don't worry about it. That doesn't mean don't plan what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are they not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Think about the flowers. They don't work, they toil not, neither do they spin. We would say sow, they don't sow their own garments. And I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like unto one of these. Look at verse 30. This is important. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? See, he's pointing out a lack of faith. God notices faith and he notices the lack thereof. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Seek ye first the kingdom of God in verse 33 and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Now here's a question. Here's another question. And anybody can answer this question. How do we exhibit a lack of faith to God for his provision? So what are we talking about? God's looking and he sees faith, and what we're trying to find out is practical ways to show God that we have faith in him, right? And so one of the ways that we can show God we have faith in him is faith for our provision, for our daily needs, what we eat, what we drink, what we put on. And so the question is this, how do we, or people, how do we show a lack of faith? How do we exhibit the lack of faith in God for his provision? Yes, ma'am. Come on. Anyone else? Yes, over here.
Just fear.
Okay, what do you mean by that? That's good.
Well, it seems to be the opposite of faith.
Fear is the opposite of faith.
Because you're believing actually that God is not able, that your situation is beyond him.
You think your problem is beyond God. Okay? Who's next? Brother Chris?
Can you repeat the question?
You say that again?
Can you repeat the question?
What do you say? Oh, I said, that's good. Good point. So the question is this, how do we show God a lack of faith for his provision? Because he said, if you worry about these things, oh, you a little faith, right? So how does that work in our life?
By not planning tithing and not trusting him, because sometimes we can... Well, I don't have the money right now. When I have the money, then it's just based on fear or not wanting to put your trust in God, knowing that it will work out.
That's very good. I have that written down. Very good.
I'm going to say something that may not naturally come out as a thought.
No.
Playing the lottery.
You're playing the lottery. That's a lack of faith. Okay.
So I
Malachi,
think,
stop playing the lottery. Now you, yes, ma'am.
So I think one way is when we make decisions in our lives without consulting him first and going to him to ask for his help and his guidance in your life. I mean, we did that for the house, and we hated every house we looked at. Either I hated or he hated it, and then we finally found the one. I mean, we prayed and prayed and prayed, and we finally found the one that we agreed on. But when you don't consult him and ask him for his guidance and help,
that's very good. You don't consult him, you don't ask him, just make decisions on your own. But if you trust him to lead it to you, you did the same thing with my house, Pastor Ashton's house. God, where is it? You show us. And he led us to the perfect one. Praise the Lord. Yes. Yes, sir. right there. And then Brother Malachi, then Brother Cormack, and then we have Brother Perry, and then we'll go on.
I think, like, the way we show a lack of faith sometimes is, like, maybe if we don't like our job or something, or we don't have a job, and then we do something, maybe get a job that the Lord doesn't want us to have. You know, like, I can be a bartender or a, you know, a stripper or something.
Thank you for that. Chip and Dale, thank you.
And so it's just a lack of faith.
Yes. That, it's true. And I've had that conversation. I have to dance because I have bills, right? Yes, sir.
It's kind of going off what Malachi and Jessica said. You know, I've just purely not wanting to be in the Lord's will, I think, is a big way, you know, because I think a lot of us think that we can figure out on our own. And if we're not in his will, you know, we feel like we're too scared to get into his will because maybe it's something we don't want to do. The prime example is like a missionary. Well, I can't go over to Africa and be a missionary because I don't think the Lord's going to take care of me. And it's that's a lack of faith, you know, not wanting to be in his will, not believing that the Lord's going to provide for you if you're in his will.
Right. Good. Yes, sir.
Well, one way how you can show your lack of faith in him is when you start doubting him. When you read the Bible or when you see something happening in your life, you start questioning him and you start doubting him instead of believing what he can do for you.
That's good. Yes, ma'am.
It's not included here, but as an example, say health. And you don't really know his will because basically there's three answers. It's either yes, no, or wait. Right? So it's not a lack of faith for not healing somebody, but you're not really sure if that's his will or he wants you to go a different route. I'm coming across a lot of confusion on that.
Okay. All right, Albert, and then we'll move. Well, here we go.
Yeah, I was trying to look it up because it came to my mind. Sometimes we usually think poverty, but it's also riches. And I was reminded of a passage where Solomon says, two things I ask of the Lord. And he's saying, don't let me be too rich where I forget to trust in you, but don't let me be too poor where I'm tempted to steal. And we see people fall into those categories.
Right. Give me neither, Proverbs 30, give me neither poverty nor riches. Let's all be rich and forget you, or poor and be bitter and angry and all that. Okay, so how do we, and then this is my observation, how do we show God a lack of faith in his provision? Because he said, when you worry about these things, you don't have faith. God, when he looks at us, he wants us to, you see a child, the children, my kids or your children, they're not worried about the bills. They're not, right? They know that their parents, or they believe that their parents have it covered, right? And when it comes to my necessary things that I need to exist, I have faith that God will take care of me. And he wants us to have that same faith that a child does. And how we exhibit a lack of faith is we do it by this. We don't obey him with our finances, right? So the Bible says, owe no man anything save to love one another. And we say, well, we have to have credit cards and we have to have all this stuff because what are we going to do, right? And then your faith becomes into Visa or MasterCard instead of, and they charge you 19% for that faith as well, right? Instead of in God. And you know, there was a time where people did without. And the Bible says this in, it says in 1 Timothy 6:8, it says this, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Okay? Do you have something to wear? And do you have something to eat? God said, if you have that, you should be content. And he said this, my God will supply all your needs, not your wants, according to riches and glory. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with what things you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee more, nor forsake thee. Brother Santiago gave me this. In 1900, 10% of the population in our country owned a stove. In 1915, less than 10% owned a car. In 1930, less than 10% owned a refrigerator or a washing machine. In 1945, less than 10% of the population owned an air conditioner. In 1960, less than 10% of the population owned a TV. In 1975, less than 10% of the population owned a microwave. In 1990, less than 10% of the population owned a cell phone. Right? A lot of things that we think that we have to have, we don't have to have. And we disobey God and go in all this debt. You know, and here's another way that I think that we disobey God in this. Look at 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 8. And I'll just tell you the story. You don't have to go there. But there's a widow woman, and she has just a little bit of meal and two sticks. And the Elijah the prophet, God said, go to Zarephath because I've commanded a widow woman to give you and sustain you. And he walks up to her and he said, what are you doing? She said, I have a little bit of meal and two sticks. I'm going to bake it and then I'm going to eat it and die. Oh, and you know what Elijah said? Go bake it for me. Because God said he'll take care of you. What? Right? And you know why we show a lack of faith in our finances for God's provision? We won't give to him. Right? He said, where have you robbed me? You robbed me in tithe and offerings. And God said, look, he gives you oxygen. You enjoy that, right? Water. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns everything, and he said, I'm going to give you everything you need. All I asked you to do is give me 10% back, and I don't even need it. But you need to do it, because it shows your faith and dependence on God. Right? And you know what a lot of people won't do? They won't do it. And you know why you won't do it? You don't have faith. God can take care of you. You don't have faith in your need. Can God provide for you? Yes. Now, here's why I very rarely preach on tithing, right? And you know why? Because most people I preach to do not obey God with their money. They go into debt and they have all these unnecessary things like Netflix and cable television and high-speed internet and they go to the movies and they go out to eat and they buy Starbucks every day and they're like, I can't afford to give to God. And I'm thinking, these people are insane with their money. How am I going to ask them to give on top of this? Listen, but you know what I learned? If you won't obey God with your first 10%, you're not going to obey him with the rest. Right? And how we exhibit a lack of faith in God is we don't do what he says with our finances. We don't obey him with it, and we put our wants and our desires in front of what God says. That's what Brother Chris touched on. Look, I have found out that I can live a whole lot better on 90% than I can on 100%. Because it keeps my faith, and it keeps my dependence on God, and I make decisions on my finances, and Brother Ashton does, and most of the people here should. Look, God first, and then let's see what I can afford next. God, my needs, and then extra, but I would never put myself in a position. And you know what that has helped me do? It's helped me to obey the Lord with the rest of the finances, right? The Bible says this, the borrower is servant to the lender. And there's something emotionally that happens when you don't have a bunch of liabilities and debts. There's a freedom that comes from serving God, being able to give extra and help a person in time of need, right? And that is having faith in the Lord. Over the past 100 years, we have turned yesterday's luxuries into today's necessities. Right? So another way, so we can live debt-free, we can do those things, and we can also obey Him and we can invest. You know? My favorite chapter on investing is Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Cast thy bread upon the water, and after many days it will return. Right? And it talks to you about all those things. Okay? So we can have faith. God's looking for faith. We can have faith for that. And that's about all the time we have tonight. But when we look at this, next time we'll see another way we can show God faith is for protection and for our family. And we'll look at some of the other things that God is looking at. Right? So practical ways to show God faith. We can show it to Him with how we look at our needs. All right? Now, there's many people in here tonight, right? And you have a great need. All right? Maybe it's financially. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's health. Right? But you have a great need. Can you trust God with that? O ye of little faith. What is God looking for? He's looking for faith. Everywhere He went, He said, when the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith on earth? And He always pointed out the faith, or lack thereof. And God, He's looking. And we want to please Him. We want to glorify Him. And all He's looking for is so simple. Just trust me. What are your tomorrow's needs? What are your tomorrow's fears? What are health, family, all that stuff? People that need to get saved. You know, what's the future hold with my child, with my family members, with my health, with my finances? Can you put that in God's hands and have faith in Him? He saw their faith. That's what He's looking for. All right, if I can have the piano player come forward and we'll stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Lord, I want to thank You, Father, so much for this time that we've had together. Lord, thank You for in the Scriptures showing us the things that You're looking for and the things that You're looking at and the things that You pay attention to, Father. And Lord, we see that faith is a very big deal to You. And the Bible says that he that doubteth is damned if he eateth, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin, Lord. And without faith, it's impossible to please You. And God, I pray You would help us to take this area of, You say, the things which are least when it comes to finances. And God, I pray that we can take that area and show You that we have faith and trust in You. We're not worried about the stock market crashing, and we're not worried about the economy failing and the government going under and the dollar going to zero and all the things that are going to happen. They may happen. We may have financial hardships, Lord, but that's okay, because we know that You will provide our necessary needs, having food and raiment. Help us to be content with such things as we have, and not to get into slavery over our wants. And we pray all this in Jesus' precious name.